brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here, and this episode is all about Bring Out Your Lead 2024. Bring Out Your Lead is, of course, a celebration of not just Old Hammer, but the hobby in the general, particularly, you know, the foundations of this hobby, and it's an event that takes place on a yearly basis. If you want a more thorough background of Bring Out Your Lead, I had the founder, Garth, one of the organisers, on a previous episode, and I'll link to that in the show notes, so that'll give you a good understanding of the sort of history of the event and the overall ethos and stuff like that. But the focus really on this episode is about the one that's just took place in August 2024. So I've never been to Bring Out Your Lead before. This was my first one. I drove down with Callum, aka Dr. Spork, on the Discord. So I picked him up on the way and we got down there on the Friday. We didn't go to it on the Friday, we got there quite late, so we did manage to get a couple of pints in York, and we were sharing an Airbnb, so we got a wee game at night. He's made a brilliant travel case, like a 40k second edition travel case, which you're going to hear more about in this episode from Callum itself, but that went down really well. A lot of people loved that. So like I say, we got a few wee games in the evening on the Friday, and then on the Saturday got up and had breakfast and drove just 10 or so minutes out to Foundry, Wargames Foundry, the sort of coach workhouse. You've probably heard a lot about it, you know, before, or seen photos, or maybe even been there, obviously. And it's a brilliant venue, you know. As far as I know, they are going to be moving from these premises, but I was really glad that that hadn't happened yet, and that I was able to go to the event there, because it just really is such a lovely venue. And I mean, that helps make what is already a great event even better, I think. You know, they've got the shop there, and it's just a really nice courtyard. And obviously with the event, we've got tables set up everywhere. There's a lot of big tables, and that is one of the best things about this event, is just the tables that you see. I'm going to post the photos that I took. I took quite a lot of pictures, so you'll see them if you go to bedroombattlefields.com/BOYL24. Again, link in the show note to that, but that will show you some of these tables. You know, I could spend all episode talking about them alone, but one particular table that I enjoyed, it was again a second edition 40k table. The guys running it, I think they'd said the battle that they were doing was a carbon copy of a battle report in a 1994 edition of White Dwarf, so maybe I have to dig that one out. It was Blood Angels against the Orcs, but really beautiful table, classic aesthetic. We had the cactuses and the orc houses and everything like that. It's just it was one of those tables I could have stood there all day and just watched the game. But I not to take anything away from any of the other tables, I never saw anything that looked even, you know, above average. Like, everything was just really spectacular and a true feast for the eyes, especially when you got down and looked at some of the miniatures that were on the tables as well. And of course, the Wargames Foundry has this massive display cabinet just full of all the ex-Citadel stuff. Again, you can't really, there's no real words to describe some of these miniatures. Like, what you're seeing, it's history and it's iconic, and they're just beautiful miniatures, beautifully painted. If I did kind of have to pick one thing to shout out, it'd be the Gene Stealer Cult limos that were in there. Again, photos of them you'll see at bedroombattlefields.com/BOYL24. And the shop as well. I mean, this is an event that you can go to without a ticket, which is nuts on its own, because it's such a good event. They could definitely charge a ticket price. I'm sure they have reasons for not doing so. They've probably given that some thought before, but because you're going to the venue as well, and it's such a brilliant shop, it's a no-brainer to buy a few miniatures there. You know, one reason for that is to sort of thank the Wargames Foundry for putting this on, for hosting it. But another reason is it's just a really good shop with a brilliant range. They've got, like, you know, just this massive amount of blister packs, all these old lead miniatures, or new lead miniatures as they are, and I treated myself to, I was in the market for a dragon that would fit with my 15 mil armies, but unfortunately they'd ran out of them and they needed to cast more, and so I treated myself to like this big troll guy. Again, he'll work great in 20 and 15 mil. He could pretty much be adapted to any scale. And I also got some naked picked fanatics, which is not something I've come across before, but there's like six or seven Pictish warriors. I mean, as you could probably surmise, they're naked, and some of them have weapons. I think there was maybe meant to be extra spears in there, and I'm not making a joke there. I think there was meant to be extra hand weapons. But aye, a lot of these guys, they're running in a way that looks like they should have something in their hand, but they don't. Again, I know there's lots of jokes in there. But naked picked fanatics, I don't know what I'm going to do with them, but just a good fun wee group of miniatures to get as well. So I spent some money at the shop, and then really, you know, it was a day of just seeing things, taking in the sights, and trying to speak to as many people as possible as well. So Ed from the Discord had organised a brilliant game of Weirdomunda, Space Weirdos in a Necromunda setting. We're going to hear a lot about that in this episode. And I'll jump into the first clip now, where I was talking with my travel companion and roommate. We had different rooms, by the way, thankfully. But Callum, aka Dr. Spork from the Discord. So let's dig into that now and get through some of these clips that I recorded at the event. Callum, how's Bring Out Your Lead going?
It's great, yeah. I mean, it's been amazing meeting all these people, seeing amazing stuff. Seeing the collection of miniatures that is here as well, like miniatures that I remember seeing in magazines when I was a kid, like, just blows my mind. That's great. Yeah, how about yourself? You having fun?
Well, talk to us about what you're seeing right now. Where are we? Set the scene for the listener.
We're in the courtyard, and there's a big marquee in the middle with lots of people playing. Apparently everyone's playing Siege this year, but Mark and Ed from the Discord are currently making use of my travel Space Weirdos set with the second edition scenery I designed, and it's working really well. I've been working hard to get it finished for here, and it's really nice to see it getting some use.
Yeah, so. I noticed like you and other people are very keen to talk about this excellent wee setup. I was more interested in the dice tower, which it keeps getting stuck. So
I left it with you focus for 5 minutes, negatives, and apparently please. You broke it.
Yeah, so we're hoping that maybe next year this supposedly great 3D printer could put together a functioning dice tower, but we'll see.
Yeah, but my best.
No, the wee set, like, we obviously in our shared apartment last night, we had a wee game of it, and it's great. We're playing basically a different game today. We're playing Space Weirdos on it today. But how happy are you to see it like in action and people coming up to it and looking at it and taking photos and that?
Oh, it's been wonderful for my ego. Yeah, it's a good job this is an audio format, because the day you get my head in a shot if it was a camera today. No, it's really nice. I love hearing people say that they like it, and I'm glad that everyone likes it as much as I do. And it's nice to see like yourself and the other guys playing it and just enjoying it, and that it works actually. You know, it's good.
Before I ask you a bit more about the table itself and how it works, or the box and how it works, it's a funny juxtaposition with, like, I mean, some of the tables in there are phenomenal, like massive, grandiose siege battles, and we're out here with like the tiniest little thing. It just shows the broad range of what's possible with a bit of creativity, though, doesn't it? So, like, talk to us a wee bit about the box itself and everything that's in it, and how it all comes together and travels about with you.
I was inspired by, like, you know, like the kind of clamshell chess sets you get where they fold in half and you keep all the pieces inside. And I was like, you can make something like that and scale everything down about half size. So it's like a 40-centimetre square board when you open it out. And if you scale from inches down to centimetres, you're looking at nearly a 4-foot square board. So you could, in theory, play like second edition 40K on it, or if you had some... it's 40K that we've got set up on it now, but if I had some fantasy miniatures, you could have a weekend of rank and flank game. You might want something slightly bigger for that. But then you just scale them down even further. Maybe you take them down to 10 mil and you could make a ruler that is even smaller than centimetres, just a kind of special one for that. So It's got two sheets of steel at the top, and they also are visible in the inside, so everything's got magnets, so they stick to it, so everything's stored really nicely inside. My brother's a carpenter, and he helped me make like a wooden frame for it, and then I wrapped it all in the brightest green leather I could find, which was very stressful sticking that all down, but it seems to have worked. So, yeah, I've been just trying to get it completed in time, and I've got something that works, and everyone seems to like it, yeah.
Nice bit of goblin green leather. What kind of cow was that?
I was off a goblin. Yeah, I spent ages chasing one round the field. It took forever.
You find anything in Glasgow,
I had to find enough of his skin without warts on, so otherwise it'd be leaving blemishes, you know, it's a nightmare.
Mark, how's the game going? You're not quite live on the greatest hobby podcast in the courtyard at the moment.
Yeah, it's going well. I've lost one model, so that's a bit of a shame, but I've got three still on the board with a valiant attempt at getting these squats. I think that the game's really good because we're playing Space Weirdos, and what's really good about it is it's really back and forth, it's really cinematic. There's a lot of moments where you think you're going to do quite well, but then they save it at the last minute. But it doesn't just kind of boil down to loads of dice rolling. It's still quite quick and efficient. So, yeah, we're getting through it. I think we're just about to go into turn four, and it's kind of everyone's to play for.
Ed, you know this game really well. You must play it a fair bit.
I played it more than I can remember. It's probably my most played game. Absolutely love it. And we are just about to try and strike down the Orc War Boss, if you want us to roll through that.
Yeah, I would like to get this caught on audio. Always works well on audio. I'll tell the listener what's happening.
So the squat is going to attack the Orc War Boss, and I roll a 5. So the Orc War Boss is going to defend on 2d10s and has a +1 for their heavy armour, and they have successfully defended.
So Orc War Boss is safe.
For now. We try and strike again.
We've got 3 attacks.
Yeah, so we're going to have another attack. This time I've rolled a 7.
Okay, so the war boss to defend.
We're fine again on 16.
The luck's going to turn my way now, Mark. I tell you, it's going to... 9.
9,
all
okay.
All I need is for luck to turn against you now.
No. 15.
Doesn't work.
The Orc War Boss lives to fight another round.
So is the fact that, like, I know stuff has happened so far, but there's been a lot of, like, shooting attempts and that haven't come to anything. Is that because we've picked very sort of vanilla-y war bands?
Yeah, so if you've got slightly more sort of nuanced war bands, you can build stuff which is a little more effective. So, for example, you haven't got any heavy rifles in here, which would give a +1 to the under fire roll whenever you rolled on that. Likewise, with sort of the power weapons, you can re-roll ones in a melee if you don't hit, if you roll a 1 in a melee attack. So there's different ways to give yourself more advantages. We've also not got command points here, which would, again, give you more opportunities to do things such as shoot on Overwatch as some model passes through, or to dodge out of the way of a really powerful shot, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, this is a nice way to kind of get an idea of the game. But as we get into the big game we're going to play a little bit later, you're going to see there's more nuance that you can have in there. You can do a lot more bits and pieces, but it's a good way to learn the game. He's keeping it really simple.
So I met another couple of lovely guys all the way from Sweden, Michael and Marcus. We chatted at the event. They were playing a fantastic looking big game, and we had the opportunity to get a few pints together in the evening too. But here's a clip that I recorded with Marcus and Michael during Bring Out Your Lead itself. So first Bring Out Your Lead event.
Yeah, first time we just heard of it like 4 months ago or something.
Yeah, and you got involved in a pretty big game there, so tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so we played Hell's Reach, which is a Necromunda hack by Curtis from Ramshackle Games. It's played on a 12x6 table with simultaneous turns, and people just like drop in and drop out, and gangs turn up, and there's Necrons and Orcs from Gorka Morka, and yeah, everything in between.
The table looked like ridiculously good, and just so many features on there. Like, what were some of the standout things that you kind of picked out?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that the quality of the train was just so great, so you couldn't be sure if it was an actual vehicle from an enemy gang or if it was a part of the table, because everything is insanely well detailed and like weathered together really well. So, but the big thing was the giant city, which Curtis has built. It was incredible.
Yeah, and I know a few people brought extra train bits. So someone had like a orc brewery or something, and I asked Curtis, like, can I place this here? No, we can't place this here. I gotta move it over there because stuff is gonna happen.
So how does a game of that scale work? Like you mentioned that people dropped in and out. So what were you taking control of and what were you kind of trying to do?
Yeah, it was very chaotic for starters. But basically everyone moves first. And then once it goes into the action phase, people just talk through the close combat and the shooting and stuff. So it's pretty chaotic on paper, but it worked out very well, despite being, like, I don't know, 15 people playing at the same time.
Did you have to know the rules beforehand, or were you kind of getting walked through it? Like, is it a game you play?
The rules, like, they matter to a certain point, but, like, the old Necromunda rules aren't very complicated, and they're hacked together in a way to really, like, let people play fast and loose and enable any sort of, like, model. Like, for example, someone brought this gigantic helicopter thing that was mounted on a camera tripod just to make it, like, actually fit on the board. Yeah, it's just incredible. And everything was, like, there weren't any rules questions, and, like, everything just flowed really smoothly. Like, the game kept going on. It was really great.
I saw that big airship, like you're saying, it was mounted, and then the next time I looked, it was down. So did somebody like shoot it down or that?
Yeah. First off, it dropped supply pods. First, it dropped weapons, and the second and third supply pod contained gene stealers. So I think it was like some clever ruse to get people opening the gene stealer boxes. But the helicopter was shot down, and later on repaired. I'm back in the air, and I think it was shot down once again afterwards. So just very, very, messy and lovely.
Did you get a chance to do anything else today, or were you pretty tied up with playing the game?
Yeah, this was like the big event that we travelled for. We really wanted to check out Boyle because it seems like there's such a good community and really like easygoing people and everything. But we wanted something to do, and we both like Necromunda and like post-apocalyptic figures and stuff, so this was the main event for us.
Got any more plans when you're over here, like you going to Warhammer World or that?
Yeah, we checked out Warhammer World yesterday, so the only plans besides leaving is drinking beer, I think.
It's always a good plan. what did you make of Warhammer World?
I thought I really enjoyed like the exhibits and like all the dioramas and stuff. It was really impressive to see some of the stuff that people have put together. I think it's kind of a shame that they don't mention all the people who were involved in making all the dioramas, because like there's this incredible Tyranid versus Space Marine diorama where like wherever you look there's always like some Ripper swarms or Carnifexes or Gaunts like swarming over stuff. So it's a shame that you don't know the people involved there, because it's really well done.
Yeah, I agree, and the dioramas look awesome, and it was really fun to see the actual model featured in the army books and the codexes. That said, I really enjoyed the War Games Foundry collection as well. It just pops and looks incredible, so...
Yeah, the War Games Foundry collection is incredible. Like, all the old horrors and flamers and weird other models lying around here is just...
Yeah, I mean, I was going to mention that. Like, the case, the display cases, they're just kind of behind us around the corner, and I don't know how... There must be thousands of miniatures in there, and some absolute classics, and they're old, but they just look so good. The paint jobs are so good. One that stood out to me was the Gene Stealer limo, where on the windscreen you could literally see the cityscape. Like, just amazing stuff.
Yeah, I stopped by the Gene Stealer limo as well, and just the old Gene Stealer Patriarch, and they're just priceless. They look so great.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Like, I really loved seeing the horrors and all of those things. And, like, the collection of just weird orcs in the other room is also really nice.
Did you buy anything today?
Yeah, I bought a gang of Jamaican voodoo gangers for probably This Is Not a Test, but mostly just to paint up some cool miniatures.
Yeah, I bought a few gladiator minis and the family, which is like the Chainsaw Massacre family, which is probably also going to end up in This Is Not a Test, or like maybe Necromunda Gang or something like that.
Right, let's get another chat with Mark now, just after he'd finished that big game that they had with Ed. Let's find out how he got on. Mark, how was the big game?
Yeah, it's brilliant. So Ed ran a multiplayer game of Weirdomunda, which is Necromunda setting, but using Space Weirdos as the rules, which is what we were playing this morning. It was six players, or seven players really, but a team of two. So yeah, seven people playing, six teams active. We all have four models each. And there was loads of objectives. There was things you could, treasure chests you could open. When you did, you got different playing cards out. So there's kind of loads of random elements going on. Everyone fighting on everyone else. Weren't teams or anything like that. It was all really chaotic. Callum and I ended up kind of drawing somewhere in the middle of the pack on six victory points. I think the winner was Terry, who I think got 11 victory points. And then Rob, I think, perhaps only got one. So it was really kind of like varied over what happened. But played it over about four or five turns, a couple of hours. Really good fun game, but really like worked really well in the context of a proper games mastered game. So Ed was running it, telling people what to do, helping everyone understand what the rules were. All of us were novices really with Space Weirdos, having played it once or twice at best. So yeah, it was a really good fun game. The terrain looked fantastic. We got photos on the Discord of that. Yeah, and really in the spirit of what Bring Out Your Lead's all about. Garth, whose guys runs Bring Out Your Lead, came over. He was really impressed by it. Had loads of people checking in. So, yeah, great fun game. Really spectacular. Real big game, but with a skirmish rule set. So, really nice combination.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of the battle systems, terrain making up the bulk of it, and then a lot of like handmade stuff filling it out. Nice wee river running through it as well. So did you get a wee swim in that at any point?
Yeah, well, actually, Callum did. He picked up, using his telekinesis powers, Terry's beastman and dunked him in the river with trying to get him to eat jobbies.
He was in a nice rubber ring with a pina colada just floating downstream.
Absolutely. So and I think he tried to drown him as his final death throw, but he got out. But yeah, no, it looked great. And the classic Necromunda, goblin green, beautiful,
manicured
lawns with the underhive terrain on top. So yeah, really cool looking game, and got loads of attention from people around as well, because I mean, people just love seeing Necromunda, that and the verticality of it all and the platforms. It just makes for a completely different game experience to a just, you know, big battlefield where you're just slogging at it. So yeah, really cool.
Was it pretty multi-leveled in terms of getting miniatures off the ground? You know, did you manage that at all?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of that, because quite a lot of the objectives were high up. But then some of them, for example, they were high up, but you had to then take them down to get off the board with them. So, yeah, there was quite a bit of that. We didn't really have any kind of falling or pushing off the edges or shooting people off the edges too much. But I think that's just the way it happened to work out. But it easily could have done with the rules, because there's a lot of random elements. So when you get shot, sometimes you dive for cover. If you'd have been on a precipice, you would have ended up diving off. So, yeah, there's always that risk when you're climbing up high that you're going to fall down. So, yeah, really cool.
Is Space Weirdos a game that you think you'll keep playing?
Yeah, I think it's a really good system. I've got the Sword Weirdos fantasy game as well, so I want to try that out. So I'm keen on seeing what that plays like. But, yeah, it's really neat, because although it's quite simple, it then scales up really well for chaotic things like this, multiplayer things, things with custom objectives. Like Ed had added in his own rules, and they work really well. So, yeah, really good.
If you're in the market for a t-shirt, mug, sticker or magnet with Goblin Green bases written on it, then today is your lucky day. We've teamed up with TeePublic to create a merch store for the podcast, which you could visit by going to bedroombattlefields.com/store. So go and get yourself some Goblin Green bases branded merch today, and bonus points if you send in a photo of you being escorted out of your local games workshop. That's bedroombattlefields.com/store. And now, back to the show. I'll turn away from you now and speak to the man of the match.
Absolutely.
Award-winning painter, I hear.
Yeah, I was very surprised, but thrilled coming second. So, didn't win anything actually to take home with me, but, the recognition's wonderful. I was like...
Yeah, so it was your big orc that you made.
Yeah, Big Knob Grimshag. Him, yeah.
So he's a winner.
Yeah, no, it's... I brought him because I thought he was the kind of thing folk here would like, and turns out I was probably right. So, yeah, very pleased.
So getting a lot of praise for that, obviously, in your wee gaming box, but a big game of Weirdo Munda there. How did you find that?
It was a great laugh. Ed was running it really well. I didn't win. But I had great fun, and it was just nice to have a big game, and because I don't get a lot of time to play, so yeah, no, it's good. I killed a couple of Marks guys. Which,
it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, well, had a laugh. Yeah.
Well, do you think you'll keep playing Space Weirdos?
Yeah, well, that's the plan with the set that we talked about before, is that get my wife to play or go around to friends' houses, just having a set that I can take anywhere with me and set up really quickly makes it much easier to persuade people to have a game, So
yeah, after the event, we got back to New York Town itself and had a few pints in the Prince Rupert. There was a lot of folks from the Bring Out Your Lead event that came back to that pub too, so that was really nice, just a nice end to the day. And the next day, we got up quite early again. We knew we had a decent journey in the car ahead of us, but Callum was really keen to go to Warhammer World first because he wanted to buy the two Realm of Chaos books. So, it wasn't too far to go and it didn't add on too much to our journey. So I drove us down there and he met Ed in the car park. They were doing an illicit deal. He'd printed out a Land Raider for Ed. So it was quite funny seeing them doing that, that handover of goods in the car park of Warhammer World, right under the watchful eye of this big space marine. So after that was done, we went in, bought Callum's books, and I swear I'd be picking those books up myself, but they're 42, they put them up. Some of them had a £40 sticker, some of them had a £42.50, so Games Workshop, they're literally only selling these in the shop, and they've put that £2.50 on there, so that'll make them £15 a month extra or that. So slow hand clap to Games Workshop there, but I suppose that's why they're a very rich company. But I toyed with getting these books. They're obviously they're amazing books, but I didn't dive in this time. I'm sure it won't be the last time I'm ever at Warhammer World, so I probably would like to get those books at some point in the future, but you have to temper yourself sometimes, don't you? But Ed picked up a couple of copies too, so he got his books, and then back out in the car park I had the opportunity to grab them and do a wee recording and just find out more about the game that he'd run the day before. Alright, Ed, I tried to get a chat with you yesterday, but you were tidying up, so I'm glad we could wait, and tell the listener where we actually are right now.
So we're currently stood in a car park outside Warhammer World. Slightly different atmosphere to where we were yesterday. Bring Out Your Lead is very much homemade, homecrafted, and obviously this feels a little more kind of manufactured and corporate. But, I think they're both really interesting. I'm quite looking forward to having a good look around Warhammer World and seeing all the dioramas.
Yeah, I just followed Callum into the Bugman's toilets there, so that was an interesting experience. Looking at some other miniatures as well, see what I did there. What were some of the things that you had a look at in the shop there?
So far, I've seen the dragon that you very kindly pointed out to me. There was the big assault on, I think it's the Hell's Reach assault, it looked like, which were both pretty mind-blowing. I haven't had a chance to properly look at things yet. It'll be interesting to get in and have a proper look at it and see stuff in a bit more detail.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going into the exhibition, so you'll be looking forward to that. And did you buy a couple of books there?
Yeah, they had the Slaves to Darkness books, so I picked up both of them. I love me a bit of chaos, and it's where a lot of the lore really, I know there were books and material before that, but I think that's where things started to solidify in the two universes. So I've never looked inside either of them, so that's going to be good fun to go through.
Yeah, in Games Workshop they made an extra £2.50 out of you because they had a sticker on the book that said £40 and the other one said £42.50, and when you helpfully pointed it out, they repaid you by charging you the extra £2.50, didn't they? So that was nice.
I expect nothing less from GW.
The Emperor protects.
Emperor protects. And if there's one thing you can guarantee, GW make that extra £2.50 out of every customer who walks through the door if they're given the chance.
Yeah, the Emperor protects the shareholders. But on to more important matters. So your game yesterday, I spoke to you before it. You know, you were, I wouldn't say stressed out, but you were charged up and ready to go. A lot of adrenaline. There was a lot to be done in the setup and the execution of it. So, like, talk us through the whole experience.
Yeah, so there were four of the original Necromunda 95 scenery sets plus an Outlander set. So getting all that on a 6x3, I had it all planned out, set it up a couple of times, so I kind of knew what I was doing. And thankfully having some other players there who would follow instruction meant we got it set up reasonably quickly. Still took about half an hour, 40 minutes. But once everything was set up and the players were sat down, quick run through the rules, because the game system we were using, Space Widows, is so light and intuitive, and because I've played it so much, essentially I've internalized all the rules now, so there's not many rules that you can catch me out on, and that just meant that I was able to go, right, this is the basics of how the game works, any questions we're going to answer at the table. And then I was able to GM seven players who are all fantastic, with six gangs on the table and a nice big wandering monster for them to kill that turned up. And yeah, it was just cracking fun. As you say, it was a sort of charge leading into it and then very focused during it. And then afterwards, I was like, my brain was done. But yeah, it was really good fun.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to just be a human rule book. Like, I dipped in and out of the game, and you were able to just keep the game going. Nobody was getting stuck on anything and that, and that would have made a huge difference, obviously. There was nobody having to nose through rules or anything like that. So, were you happy with the flow and the pacing of it all?
Yeah, the flow and the pacing went really well. I think if there's anything I would change doing it again, I'd maybe make the board about a foot shorter, so maybe play on a 5x3 board for six players rather than a 6x3. It's not that players weren't interacting with each other, but I think I want to see more chaos at the table. So most gangs are only interacting with maybe a couple of others, whereas I'd like to see gangs interacting almost with all of them, and I think the length of the table just kind of made that a little bit challenging. But the flow of the game went really well. Everyone picked the rules up pretty quickly. As I say, they're quite intuitive. The rule book's only about 16 or 18 pages long, so it's not a big rule book. I mean, it's A5 size. So the trick with that many people is keeping everyone focused on the game, because it's so easy to get chatting to your neighbour and seeing what else is going on in such a busy and interesting room. So yeah, just keeping everyone sort of focused on, right, you're next, come on, let's get your activation done so we can keep it going and we can play the whole game inside the, I think it was 3 hours we were allotted at the gaming table, which we did, and it fitted in perfectly, so I'm super pleased with that.
Was that a happy accident that the timing just worked out so well for how long you had the table, or did you kind of have an idea it would take that long?
Yeah, so I ran a six-player game beginning of July for my birthday with a bunch of friends. So I had a rough idea what the time length would be, and I knew we kind of needed to be focused as a group to get through that, which, as I say, we were, and that worked really well. So yes, I had done some prep in advance to make sure that, yeah, can we do this in the time slot we've got available? And yeah, it does work. I think if we had six players who all knew the rules really well, We'd be able to do it, and I could sit at the table and play rather than GMing. But I did not miss out. I felt like it was that exploration and adventure for new players, and I hopefully have 7 new Space Weirdos players who will all want to play the game, and hopefully one day play me in the game. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Welcoming new people into the games that you love, getting more people playing, making sure everyone's having fun at the table, regardless of what results are. Yeah, that's what it's about.
Well, great work. Will you do it again next year?
Yeah, so Mark has already asked me whether I would do a Sword Weirdos version with a Mordheim setting. And that would be great, but Sword Weirdos just has a little bit extra noodle. It's a little bit more depth to it. And I think if you're playing with 6 fresh players, it would be difficult to recreate what we did with Space Weirdos. However, I am playing with some rules, some additional rules for Sword Weirdos to do what I'm calling Weirdo Quest. So everyone would have one model with some special rules around it to help it work so that everyone's got an interesting single model to run through a dungeon and have it be like a Hero Quest, Warhammer Quest kind of adventure. So I think that's probably what I'm going to work on in terms of developing something forward for next year, because I definitely want to come again. This has been such an awesome weekend, and so many great people, so many great games. So yeah, there probably is a plan for next year.
And Ed was kind enough to do a wee battle report of the game as well, which he sent in to me. I just seen it there this morning, so we'll pop that on the end of the episode. But first, let's hear again from Callum, just before we jumped in the car and drove back up to Scotland. So describe to the listener what you could see just over there.
All right, we're at Warhammer World, and we're just outside. Big sign says Warhammer World. There's a massive space marine and a rhino tank parked. It's really busy today. Full of people from Boyle, I reckon, as well.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's very busy this morning. Just had a chat with Ed there as well. So we've been in Bugman's toilet together. That was an experience. And you've bought yourself a couple of books as well.
I got the Realm of Chaos books. I wasn't actually, funnily enough, I thought I would be more excited to be at Warhammer World, but I'm more excited to get these books open and start flicking through them rather than actually have a look around Warhammer World. So it's funny, these things, because I'm reckoning as a kid I would have been cock-a-hoop to be here, but I've kind of moved on, and I think Games Workshop's moved on from me in a way, and I'm not really interested in their Golden Space Marines, as you like to call them.
There is a big statue over there, a Golden Space Marine. We're parked kind of close to them, so we'll maybe get a photo taken with them. But so first and last visit to Warhammer World, or will you come back if maybe they've got something else in stock that you fancy?
I'd really like them to do some of the Orc Rogue Trader books. That'd get me back here, because again, I've bought the Realm of Chaos books that they do the reprints of here, because it's £40 each for them here, or hundreds of pounds to get the originals online. So I was like, I'd love to have a copy of them. I don't mind having the reprints too much. I just want to look at the gorgeous Ian Miller and artwork, and quite looking forward to reading the random mutations tables, because whenever I've heard people talking about it, that tends to be a thing they all talk about. It's got a D1, it's a D1000 or something that you roll on, and you get all these weird things for your chaos guys to just mutate randomly. So a lot of silly stuff in there, but not that I can remember any of it off the top of my head from what other folk have said, but I'll be reading that in the car on the way back to Scotland.
Yeah, I read it aloud so that I've got something to pay attention to on the M6.
Oh, you can record it and stick it on your Patreon.
I know we caught up after you played Ed's game yesterday, so we did speak a bit about the day, but just looking back on it now, you know, it's the next day. Any particular highlights from yesterday?
Ed's game was fantastic. I just really enjoyed meeting all the folk there, actually. That was amazing. Everyone was so friendly and so lovely, and so many people were actually really generous, just giving you stuff. You get the special Boyle miniature that they hand out to everyone. Garth goes around with a wee box of them, which was a cool wee kind of sorcerer with a staff, and he's got like the old Citadel Miniatures logo castle on the end of his staff, which I'm quite looking forward to getting some paint on at some point, hopefully. But yeah, like just yeah, I met a guy who does like similar kind of 3D designs to me for 3D printing, and we got on like a house on fire, despite the fact that I suppose in a way he's like my kind of direct competitor for that kind of thing. So, but he was really sound, and we I think he's got like a wee squats Kickstarter or something on the go, and he gave me one of his wee squats. And yeah, folk were just really generous. I got night goblins still in a blister pack off a fella. That was like, I'm going to go home and sniff that sweet, sweet 90s air when I pop the blister pack open.
You'll have to tell it Kurt Cobain's dead.
I'm sure they'll be very disappointed to hear the news.
I also cooked your breakfast two mornings running, so I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll be handing the divorce papers to my wife and letting her know I've found someone better around the house.
And I mean, you got to sit there eating your bacon and eggs, looking at my naked pics on the table as well, as we decided what to put in their hands, because it looks like they were meant to have spears, but they didn't come in the blister pack, so I don't know. Don't know what's going on there.
No, I was just disappointed there were no sausages on my plate. But you were saying you were maybe going to have them like pulling something, because you've got like that kind of pose and you stick a few chains in their hands. So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a horse shortage, so they're using naked guys to pull their chariots.
There's a lot of jokes in there. A lot of jokes. I think it's time to get behind that wheel, isn't it? So right. Well, off we pop.
Cheers, Matthew.
All right, as promised earlier, here's that short battle report from Ed now. Ed, thanks very much for sending it in. Thanks very much for running the game as well. It looked brilliant. It was great to hear your kind of takeaways from it. And obviously, if you're doing it again next year, that'll definitely be something to look forward to.
Deep in the dank and dirty underhive of Weirdo Munda, six gangs duked it out for supremacy under the watchful eye of me, the Adjudicator. I am the law, and this is the truth of the matter. A feud between the Orlok and Goliath sparked off proceedings. The Goliaths gained the upper hand, forcing the Orloks onto the back foot. Meanwhile, the Gene Stealer cult and Space Puritan exchanged shots and casualties, whilst the Redemptionists and Beastmen sought out tactical advantage amongst the ruins of the Hive City. With grudges set, the Orloks sought vengeance for their slain brothers, without luck, until a demon swooped down out of the dark heights, high above, and savaged a Goliath ganger, leaving them exposed to grenade attack. Blasting both demon and Goliath, the Orloks started to reassert their authority. Meanwhile, the Gene Stealer cult began vying with the Beastmen for valuable resources, both sides trying to lay their hands on the servo skulls that buzzed around the Underhive. Neither one able to gain full advantage, they trained punches and jives aplenty. Nearby, the Space Puritans and Redemptionists both tried to spread their good word, preaching with boulder and blade. With both deaf to any reason, the Puritans stole an advantage, stealing valuable credits from under the nose of the Redemptionists, placing them at the front of the pack. On the far side of the Hive, the Orloks made sure of the demon's death, finished off the Goliath threat, placing them in a commanding position. Surely, no one could gainsay their dominance this day. The Gene Stealer cult tried to drown a Beastman in a river of sludge while stealing away with a servo skull. The Puritans tried vainly to gain any new congregation, whilst the Redemptionists were made pay for their conservative attitude, losing no men but gaining little respect from this Adjudicator. Just as the day seemed set and all scores were won, the Beastmen charged forth, seizing loot and objective in a final hurrah, sealing a victorious day for these abhumans. But you know what they say, the scum
always rises to the top.
Right then, that's just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Thanks once again for listening. Thanks to everyone who contributed to this episode. And yeah, if you want to see pictures of Bring Out Your Lead, you'll see my own photos if you go to bedroombattlefields.com/BOYL, Bring Out Your Lead, BOYL 24, as in the year 2024. And you'll see loads of other photos as well on Discord. You could join our Discord, that's bedroombattlefields.com/Discord. There's a dedicated Bring Out Your Lead 24 channel in there. And I would recommend Josh's Crown of Command Discord as well. Again, he's got his own channel for Bring Out Your Lead, and there was lots of amazing photos and just general anecdotes from the day on there as well. So if you're going to join one Discord, you'd be as well joining both. They're both very good places to be. Thanks once again for listening to this podcast. I really do appreciate it, and we'll talk again on the next one.